Good evening. It's October 7th, 2015. This is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee. I'm the chair, Bob Lederer. Our secretary is unable to, he's not at a computer, so he's not able to call the roll. So I will actually do that instead. Okay, one second.
I thought Margie was going to do it.
Well, it's all right. I got it right here. Riley Abbott, WPFW. Teresa Allen, KPFT.
Allen is present.
Jim Brown, WPFW. Jim, I heard your voice before. Are you still there?
Present, yes.
Oh. Maria Elena Castellanos, KPFT. Janet Coleman, WBAI. Marion Douglas Ungaro, WPFW. Jose Luis Fuentes Roman, KPFA.
Present.
Tej Graywall, KPFK. Mark Hernandez, KPFA. Cynthia Johnson, KPFA. Janet Coburn, KPFA.
Present.
Bob Lederer, it's me. Frank Lefevre, WBAI.
Here.
Michael Novick, KPFK.
Present.
Lawrence Reyes, KPFK.
Present.
Serene Roberts, WBAI.
Present.
Nancy Saibara Naratomi, KPFT.
Present.
Peter Tucker, WPFW.
Present.
Okay, so that is 11. That constitutes a quorum, and we can begin the meeting. For those who may not have seen the posting that I put on our listserv, I'll read the proposed agenda, and then we can discuss it. And Nancy has kindly agreed to be a timekeeper. And
Maria Elena Castellanos calling in from KPFT Houston.
Okay, hi, Maria Elena. And actually, we also have two guests on the line. We have Adriana Casaneve from KPFT, a director, and then we have Margie Wilkinson from KPFA, another director, and directors are always able to participate in these calls on a non-voting basis. And Margie has agreed, since our secretary, Michael, can't take notes tonight, she's agreed to call the roll on any votes that we may have.
Okay. Has quorum been reached?
Yes, it has.
And did you get my note as far as the agenda goes?
Yes, and I added your item to the agenda.
So,
okay, so here's the proposed agenda.
Good evening, this is Eljoy Williams.
Oh, good evening, Eljoy. Thanks for joining us. We're just getting started.
Fantastic.
Okay, so the proposed agenda has four items. Number one, report from Eljoy Williams, who's the National Election Supervisor, on next steps in the election process, including a Q&A. I'm proposing 55-0 minutes, because I know there's a lot of things going on. Number two is candidate cart schedules and posting. That's the item that Maria Elena was referring to, that she has to be discussed. I'm proposing 15 minutes for that. Number three is setting the next meeting date for the Elections Committee for 5 minutes. Then number four would be review and approval of five outstanding sets of minutes. I'm suggesting for 5 minutes on that item. So are there any amendments to that agenda?
Janet Kay.
Go ahead, Janet.
Well, I had sent an email earlier this week about election protocols, and so I would like that to be on the agenda.
Okay, is that, maybe I misunderstood. The way I read it, those were questions for the National Election Supervisor.
Yes.
So couldn't that just be incorporated in
okay.
that? Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Any other amendments? Okay. All right.
Oh, sorry. Hello. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry.
Serene.
I sent an email. I sent it late, so I don't, you know, if we can't do tonight, that's fine. But to get an update on the WPFW delegate seat issues.
Okay. Where would you like to propose that?
Just turned away from the agenda.
We have the NES report, candidate card schedules, next meeting, and minutes. So should it be after the card schedules?
I have a question for Michael. Do you expect that you'd be able to deal with the minutes if there are amendments, even if you're not, like, in a good place? I don't mean spiritually. Amen.
I'll just go back over the recording.
Okay. Then I would ask for it after minutes if we still have time.
Oh, so as the last item.
Yeah, I don't want to bump minutes.
Okay, so for how many minutes do you want to allocate?
I would think not more than 10, just, you know.
Okay. All right, so WPFW, what's the phrase? Delegate
seats. Issues, resolution,
issues. Whatever. Okay, seat issues for 10 minutes as number 5 on the agenda. Okay, are there any other amendments? All right, and hearing none, are there any objections to adopting the agenda as amended? Okay, hearing none.
I'm sorry.
Yes?
It's a procedural thing, and I'm wondering if we would want to deal with... I don't know if it's an agenda item. It's how we deal with a particular agenda item. When would be the appropriate time to raise it?
At the beginning of that item.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Chair, this is Lawrence.
Yes. Yes, Lawrence.
I'd like to add to the candidate card situation, the on-air forms. This way Joy could maybe answer that.
Okay, well, if it's just a question, you can ask it during the Q&A.
Well, the reason why I'm putting it out there now is because I have a union meeting right now. I was bargaining.
Oh, well, why don't you just say it, and if Eljoy could make a note, and we'll get back to it when we get to that part of the agenda. So you want to say your question?
Sure. The question is, when are the on-air forums going to be started? Because people are asking me about that.
Okay. So that was it?
That was it.
Okay, great. So we'll definitely answer that, and then, you know, your colleagues, I guess, from KPFK can relay it back to you.
Sounds good. Thank you. Good night, folks.
Good night. All right. So the first item is a report from the National Election Supervisor on next steps in the election process, including a Q&A for 50. Nancy, this is a 55-minute item. And so, Serene, did you have a procedural point about that?
Okay. So I would like us to have the LAS... the NES, Eljoy Williams, see what's confusing me there, do her report without interruption. And then when we move to individuals, I would like us to establish a rule that a member's question and the response will be for 3 minutes total before the turn moves to someone else, and that no one gets a second shot, second round, let's say, until everyone wants to speak has spoken.
Okay, so that's a...
Janet Kay?
Yeah, let me just clarify. That's a procedural proposal that the committee can vote on, and we have actually used the same procedure in past meetings, but this is a new meeting. So go ahead, Janet.
Well, again, I had sent a whole bunch of questions to the NES via email, like 9 or so questions earlier this week, have not gotten an email response. So it's going to take, probably it would take more than 3 minutes if the questions are not answered during the report. So again, you know, I had requested that to be a separate agenda item. And now with a 3-minute limit, that they might not be answered.
Well, let me clarify something, because, like I said, we've done this before, and it worked well for people, including yourself, who had a lot of questions, which are, you know, important to get your questions answered. The idea is to just spread it around, so it's not one person having a long, extended period, but that it's broken up into parts, so that you would ask, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 questions, get the responses, then we'll move on to other people, and then we'll come back to you for round 2 or even round 3 if the time allows. So it doesn't prevent people from asking a lot of questions. It just spaces it out.
May I? That's the issue, if time allows. So,
well, we can extend. The committee can vote to extend if there's more questions from anyone on the committee.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. So are any other comments on the proposed procedure, 3 minute per Q&A back and forth, and then, you know, you can have seconds and thirds and fourths after others have spoken. Any other comments? Okay.
Can Alan make a comment?
Yes, go ahead.
I would like to say that if Janet Coburn sent her questions in early, and if the election supervisor has had the time to collect the data, I'm hoping that we would not hold it against her, and if she has other questions, that she can add them. Because the questions she asked in advance may be questions that others of us would ask at too. So I hope we don't make it too hard on her if she has additional questions. And we could maybe consider those questions that were sent in advance somewhat from the group rather than hold it against her. Just a thought.
Okay, yeah, we're not holding any questions against anyone. We're just trying to spread the time around, and I'm sure Eljoy has had a chance to read and think about the questions, and she may very well address them in her opening comments. All right, are there any other comments, or is there an objection to adopting this procedure? Okay, hearing none, then that's the procedure we'll use. So, Nancy, please note the three-minute back and forth total, okay? All right.
Hey, Bob.
Yes. Who is that?
Mark Hernandez is on the line.
Oh, hi, Mark. Thanks for joining us. Okay, so...
Finally able.
Okay, so, Eljoy, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, and good evening, everyone. I would say I would apologize for my low energy, but I'm not. It's been a troubling couple of days. I will, and Janet, I did respond to your email just to say up front that I would try to incorporate large number of your questions in my update at this time. So right now where we are is finalizing, most of the information, the ballots itself, the ballots themselves and the ballot materials that be in the candidate statement booklets are designed and done, as well as the appeal letter and other information that's going in the actual ballot mailing.
Can I just clarify? People may not know what you mean by appeal letter.
Oh, sorry. The appeal letter, the fundraising letter that generally Pacifica, to my understanding, includes in the ballot material. So what a voter will be receiving if they've chosen to accept the mail option is they will receive a ballot, a booklet with the candidate statements, be it a listener category or staff category, depending on which category they fall within. In addition, in that mailing is also an appeal letter from the executive director that the person not only returned back with their vote, but also send a check to help pay for the election process as well. In addition, a voter instruction piece that gives the voter information on how to cast their ballot and the instructions that if they want to, they can also cast their ballot online. So that is what each of you will receive if you opted to receive the mail, should receive when ballots are mailed. In my previous updates, I had mentioned that I had hoped or I was leaning towards a target that the ballot materials would hit mailboxes October 15th. We've now passed that, and so that the actual mailing will actually be mailed on October 15th. Given ourselves that leeway in terms of the time frame from the updated voter data record, and hope to meet that, but unfortunately, due to delays, mainly because of the election list, the voter list, we were not able to meet that. So I know I've received a number of emails and calls regarding that. The ballot, actual ballot mailing will occur on October 15th. So there'll be a little bit of a delay in terms of it hitting mailboxes. In addition to that, you know, as has been in all of the reports, the final reports that I've seen from national election supervisors and local election supervisors, and will certainly be in my report from this election cycle, you know, Pacifica does itself a serious disservice because of the way that the list of membership and also staff, primarily staff, unpaid staff, is kept, or I should say not kept, particularly since the bylaws of Pacifica specifically state and give members voting eligibility. The fact that Pacifica does not keep accurate and up-to-date records of unpaid staff or do regular processes of cleaning the membership list and staff list puts anyone who holds a position of National Election Supervisor or LEF at a serious disadvantage in preparing those materials to do an election. So I don't know what else to say or how to communicate what has been communicated to the board and to Pacifica wide numerous times, that how it is kept, particularly for unpaid staff, is something that the organization seriously needs to consider and put into action, particularly if you're going to do another election process next year. So I'll take this time to answer a couple of questions that were in Janet's email related to this. So the list, the voter list closed today, and the sign up to vote online will be taken down tonight. And what we have as far as the cleaning of the list is what those numbers that I posted yesterday is what we're mailing with those numbers. As mentioned in those updates, the quorum may change because the actual vote number may change, even though we've run the numbers of national change of address and removed duplicates and things of that nature. There is still the possibility that not every single duplicate is removed, particularly if someone, you know, if there are two Janets and, you know, it's the same person, but it's a maiden name and a last name and a different name. We have no way of knowing that. So there may be duplicates. There may be return to senders. There may be, unfortunately, deceased members. So the quorum number will change because the number of actual ballots will change. So because there has been a number of disputes, and there's always a number of disputes or people, you know, identifying that they are members, or unpaid staff, and they were not included in the original list, there will be protocols for people to prove that or to give information for that, and they will still be eligible to vote. And, you know, that will require the LESs at each station, as those requests come in or those complaints come in, will be processed. And if it's a paid member, that's easily verifiable, hopefully, either by the member providing some receipt or proof, and then being able to check that it's across the database. So there have been cases where their payments haven't been updated until afterwards. Once we've identified that person is indeed a member and qualified to vote based upon the voter date of record, the elector can decide to, you know, get their ballot and password issued via email to cast their ballot online, and, you know, that's easy, taken care of. Or we will have ballots, ballots for each station that can be mailed as the replacement ballot process that has been in place as in previous elections. You know, obviously it's probably easier for us, you know, to process it, people doing an online vote, but we will have a paper ballot replacement up until a certain time, you know, certainly as we get closer to the end of the election period, they may not have the time to receive the ballot in the mail and return it before a deadline. So obviously what puts us at an advantage, puts us at an advantage of having an online vote option. Let's see, it's the paper ballots. So I just want to clarify this as well. Even though, because someone asked me this question, even though a person hasn't elected to opt out of the mail completely, even when you receive the ballot materials in the mail, you will also have a password in which you can complete your vote online. And so then you wouldn't have to mail back the information, I think, or anything, whatever. So you still have the option of doing that. So that puts us at an advantage as well as we get towards the end, or, you know, try making sure people, stations meet quorum, is you can tell people to cast their ballot. They still have time to do it online. What was the other? Yeah, to do it online. And also the benefit, if they have an email address attached to their record that we have on the official voter list, they'll get reminders to cast their ballot or mail their ballot back on a regular basis as well. Okay, so that is what
Hello.
Is happening.
Sorry, Jenna Coleman, I'm sorry I'm late.
So that is what is happening. There'll be an update post, you know, letting folks know that the ballot materials will now be mailed on October 15th. And as I know, I've gotten questions and emails, and about six threats of lawsuits, which I should say, guys, you guys don't have to threaten me with a lawsuit for every question. Just a general, like, you just, like, that's not really necessary. just in case, I don't know if you guys, some folks who may be listening keep an attorney or retainer for that. Like, you, like, save your money. You don't really have to, you don't really have to do that. Okay. So there was a question also before, because Simply Voting is headquartered in Canada, the ballots are being mailed from a mail house on the West Coast. And there is a P.O. box in each station area in which ballots will be mailed to. Now, I'm going to say this. This is the first time I believe I got this idea from a board member. Or someone who emailed me, and if it was you and you're on this committee, please say so, that more than likely, as long as we can get this hammered out with the U.S. Postal Service, a ballot, each station will not be counting their own ballots. If we can get this worked out with the Postal Service, which I believe we did today, there will be counting done at each of the station areas, but more than likely they will not be counting their own ballot. That is to help reduce the tension of the ballot counting process, the contention that has been. I know that we will, we just talked about this, the local election supervisors have already started the process of looking for locations for the ballot count. So if you have suggestions or places or something that has been used in the past please email that to your LES, as he or she is in the process of looking for locations now. They are also in the process of recruiting folks, volunteers, both within Pacifica and outside of Pacifica in the community to help with the ballot count process. And, you know, I understand that there will be multiple people from slates that exist, but we also, you know, the LES has had some great suggestions about reaching out to some colleges, you know, and other volunteer organizations to help with this process, which could also help bring new people and new people interested in Pacifica overall. So they, if you have suggestions or want to offer, some of you I know teach and things like that, want to offer your students and things of that nature, please email your LES for suggestions from that. Those would be good, helpful situations, good, helpful suggestions for recruiting volunteers and supporters. So we'll obviously, and the ballot count process has happened before, be witnesses and observers from that process, for the ballot count process. In terms of the chain of custody of the paper ballots, as I said, the PO boxes have been established. We're establishing sort of the lockbox, and the LESs will go with witnesses or observers to count to see if we're meeting quorum, and then also when it's time for the at the end of the election, we'll always go with observers and witnesses for that process. So here's another issue. In a previous report, I mentioned that the vendor simply voting, in addition to processing the online votes, would be able to receive and process the paper ballot for the count to actually save us from doing a counting process. The reason why we are now still doing a counting process is that they neglected to put on the invoice or in the agreement or anything that there is an extra cost per ballot for that. And knowing how strapped Pacifica and the stations already are, I thought that, you know, paying $1.25 per ballot return for them to scan and process returns is probably something that Pacifica cannot afford. And so that is why we're continuing with the ballot count process from there. Next up, I know folks are talking about carts. You know, I must apologize. I've largely left the local election supervisors deal with those issues, as I've been dealing with the larger mailing and the voter list. I know there have been some questions about the schedules and the carts. I'm not completely up to date on that as of the last 3 or 4 days. So I know folks have questions, but unfortunately, I've largely left that up to the LESs who are on the ground and working with station management on those issues. There was a question regarding the on-air form on our LES update call yesterday. The on-air form, the LESs are working with station management to identify dates and time slots for early November. We're targeting the on-air forms to begin at that time. The process by which candidates will be able to pick time slots and things of that nature will be memo sent to the candidates next week, I believe, which will ask them once the LESs get dates and time slots. The candidates will then rank the dates and time slots on their preferences, will select random numbers and then assign time slots and things from there, as well as the questions. Folks can submit questions. There'll be an open place on the website and also center inviting people to submit questions submit for the on-air forum so that the candidates will be given a list of questions that were selected for that process. So that is what's also coming up next. I'm going to leave it there because I know there's some additional questions and I want to give some time for things that I'm for questions people may need clarity on at this time.
Okay, thanks very much, Eljoy. And
I know that was a lot. I'm sorry.
No, there's a lot going on. That's fine. So, Nancy, how many minutes of the 50 minutes do we have left? Nancy, are you there?
Yes. We started at 8:01, so we have spent 19 minutes of the 50 minutes.
Oh, okay, so we
I didn't talk that long.
So we have half an hour. Okay. All right. So remember, 4 minutes or 3 minutes per Q&A segment. And who would like to speak first?
I have a point of clarity.
Was that Serene?
Yes. Okay. So Joy had asked, Eljoy. Sorry, I keep forgetting the L. Eljoy, or putting it in the wrong place, had asked whose idea it was. About sending the ballots to other stations, and I think that was Nancy. Was that you, Nancy?
Yes, guilty. Yes.
Okay. Well, wanted to know who to thank, and there you are. Okay.
Well, thank you.
I'll join the staff box, please.
Thanks. Okay. All right. So, who else has questions?
Janet Kay.
Michael Novick.
Bob, this is Margie. When the
right after the voting
done,
members, I'll
yeah,
call
I,
on you.
Yeah, I have a question. Thank you.
Okay. Any others? All right. We can add more later. Okay. So Serene is first.
No, I'm happy to wait a little bit.
Oh, okay. All right, Janet Kay.
Yes. Yeah, so what I understand is that. The ballot counting at each station will not be necessarily of the ballots from that station. But what I want to know, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that correct?
Yes, that is what we are. Yes, okay. That is what we are
right.
Targeting.
Okay. So what I and you said that the ballots, the paper ballots, will be processed locally or at each. Station area. I want to know the details. When you say processing, does that mean the scanning, the, you know?
Okay.
The
process just roughly, and I'll get, obviously the nitty-gritty details will be in writing, but generally is that, the LES will go to the lockbox location with witnesses and observers to get the ballots, bring them to the count location. The ballots will be open at that time and separated. So that way if there are, hopefully there are checks in there, if there are checks, separating notes and things like that. So if there are multiple ballots in one envelope, things of that nature, separated and counted so that at first the official quorum can be, a certified quorum can be established because at the close of the election, we will state these are the exact number of ballots that were sent and therefore this is what quorum is for a particular station. And that is, and then at the location, ballots will be separated from checks and other identifying information. And then there will be a table station set up for, with a computer, a laptop or a computer, And the 3 to 4 people at each station will go through and enter the votes. And once the votes have been entered, all of the ballots will be scanned so that Pacifica not only has the paper for the ballots that were returned, but then also a digital archive of all of the scanned ballots for future auditing purposes if necessary. And then those will be combined with the online votes that were received. And so this helps us as well, because if we get paper ballots, and let's say Janet Kay, only because Janet Kay, I just remember your name all the time, if Janet Kay sent in a hard copy ballot, but she also used the password to vote online, well, you won't be able to enter the votes online because Janet Kay already voted online using her only, you know, password, so there won't be duplicates, you know, entered in that aspect. So the online votes will be combined with the paper ballots we received. And then we'll be able to use that information to do the final results or run the final results. So that's the process in general terms.
Okay, so I'm just wondering about you said that people will be entering the votes manually, actually looking at the ballots and manually entering the votes?
Yes.
And then also, the ballots will be scanned. You said that? Is that right?
Yes.
Which means that there needs to be a scanner at each station, correct?
Yep.
The equipment. And that equipment is coming from where?
Oh, I mean, well, we can do, I mean, it could be something that the location that selected already has. I mean, also, like, buying a regular printer isn't, like, that has scanning capabilities is not that expensive anymore.
Scanning into digital, from the hard copy scanned into digital.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's not that expensive and hard to do anymore. 10 years ago or 5 years ago it was hard. Like, nowadays you can do that with $50. So it's not as difficult.
Okay. Michael is next.
I had two or three questions. I'm concerned about the how the combination of the e-voting and the paper ballots will go within the context of the SDV system. So if you could explain how that will happen. There was a suggestion that was made last year by John Wenger that one way to deal with it might be to actually have a paper printout of each of the e-votes. So a related question is if you can explain more about the process of verification of each person's e-ballot. I'm getting a lot of concern as I've been trying to promote e-voting of people who don't trust it. And what I've tried to explain is that each individual who casts a ballot will get an immediate verification of their vote. And then because they have the code number, they'll be able to check their ballot at the end of the entire process to make sure it was recorded correctly. But if you could explain more about that and how it will work.
You are explaining it correct.
Okay.
When you cast your ballot online, you get an immediate on-screen confirmation, and then you also have, you know, a code to look and make sure that you have that. So you're explaining it perfectly.
In terms of the process of combining the two different types of ballots into a single SDV count?
Yeah, so what we're doing is because we're manually entering the data into a system, so we'll have the raw data from both the online and from the print, and then be able to run the count that way.
Okay, is that being done by us or by the e-voting people?
It can be done by both. I expect to do it both just to double check to make sure. So, you know, we'll have raw data, and so then if simply voting comes up with a different vote than we do, that would be a problem. But it's, you know, I doubt that will happen. We have the, it's just a backup I'm doing to make sure you know, that all systems are run the same way.
And then I had a question also regarding the appeal letter and the checks.
Mm-hmm.
Are those all being made out to Pacifica Foundation, or is it going to each station, or?
Yeah, when I looked at previous things before, each of the appeal letters are for each station. You know, all of the materials are for each station. So we had on the appeal letter, you know, the appeal letter is different. So it says make your checks payable to WBAI, make it to KPFK, you know, so that is easier to separate at that point.
Sure. Okay. And then in terms of, I had a separate question completely not related to the stuff you just reported, which is about complaints and the processing of complaints about violations of the fair campaign practices. And I raised the last time the question of on-air programmers who are advocating that people vote against the current members of the board, and you expressed some skepticism that was a violation because they don't name names, and I want to raise that with you again. I think it's a violation whether they name names or not, because they should not be taking positions on how people should vote. And so I want to press that because it's continuing to happen. People are on their programs, you know, complaining about the boards, complaining about the entire process of elections, but also specifically urging people to vote out current board members.
Okay.
And I think that's a serious violation and needs to be dealt with.
Okay.
I mean, you understand why it's a violation? It's, you know, they don't have to name the name because people are running as incumbents or not, and identifying themselves as members of the board or not. And if you're telling people at a station to vote against people on the board, you're taking a position on the election, on the air, which is a violation of the fundamental violation of the election, of the fair election process, and has to be dealt with.
So let me ask this just quickly. So which campaign provision do you believe it to be a violation of?
I think it's a violation of programmers taking a position on the election.
But the fair campaign provision, there's not a provision that says that they cannot take a position. All, you know, number three of the fair campaign provision says no foundation or radio station management or staff may give any on-air endorsements to any candidates for listener-sponsored delegate.
Yes, but if you oppose a particular candidate, whether by name or not, as an incumbent, that's the same thing as endorsing somebody else.
Right.
And I can't understand why that's not self-evident. It's an interference in the electoral process.
I understand what you're saying. What I'm trying to clarify is that there is no specific campaign provision that on their can't interfere with the election process at all.
That's the whole point.
Sorry, Michael. Can I just insert here what number one of the fair campaign provisions reads? No foundation or radio station management or staff, paid or unpaid, may use or permit use of radio station airtime to endorse, campaign, or recommend in favor of or against any candidates for election as a listener-sponsored delegate.
I see what you're saying. Okay. Well, yeah, that's why I was asking which number.
Right. So I think that's pretty clear.
Okay. Okay. And did you do an actual, an official campaign? Did you emailed me one, right? Or did you complete a form?
No, I haven't completed a form, but I believe somebody else has. But I'll repeat it. I'll track it back down and send it.
Yeah, because what I would need is a specific staff, on your staff people, and you know, like you know, I need the specific people so that we can, it's, you know, do it from there.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Sure.
No problem.
Okay.
Janet, so let me, and just, if I can just say, if I can just say a point about this as well. When folks are, because I get emails all the time where people are saying, you know, a violation or I said something, and people send me an email and it's a generalized statement or complaint. So if anyone, is it, if it's you or, you know, anyone within the station area or whatever, no, I need specifics in order to, because I can't issue a violation to the entire, no, I'm just repeating, I'm just repeating.
No, we'll send them in again, but the specific question, but I'll follow
up. So, because I have about 11 where emails, and I respond back to the people and say, who is it specifically, what station, what time, what thing, and they said, it just happens all the time, and I'm like, I can't do anything.
No, this is different. Okay, we'll get you specific. Thank you.
Janet, could I get back on the stack?
I'll put you at the bottom of the list. Next is Serene.
Okay, thank you very much. But I also have a question about a Fair Campaign violation. A particular programmer who has been involved in governance for at least 10 of the past 12 years and whose spouse has been involved in governance for a significant period of time, had his wife on the show a couple of years ago for
a violation on that.
I understand that. You know, these elections this year, not counting staff time, is costing Pacifica, what, like $60,000, $70,000? And if we are to... If we're spending that kind of money, we need the rules enforced, okay? Because that money can go a long way to handle a lot of other things at any given station yesterday. So when someone who is steeped in the knowledge of our governance and has chaired our governance committee and has chaired our national board for extended periods of time, brings on his wife during the campaign saying, oh, we're going to reduce her airplay, and we warned him, is just not, it's just not enough. It is ridiculous to an unbelievable extreme. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money for a lot of people. And there are a lot of people in Pacifica who have a lot of money and a lot of time. And, you know, so they don't mind if people want to play games. But there are other people who sacrifice to get us $25 over the course of a year because some people can't even do it in one shot. And then we have costly elections and we don't apply penalties when people pretty much, you know, stick a thumb in the eye. So I think that, like, that really needs to be reexamined. Otherwise, if we're not going to be serious, then we need to not do it. We need to just, you know, pull names out of a hat. So you will be hearing from me further on that. But...
Teresa for the stack.
I'm concerned about a number of things, and so I don't know if you know the answers to these questions, but here's one, and it's pretty much too late because the cart's already running, but I'd like to know in each station, if you can have your LES's report, the process by which the cart play, I know we're getting to carts, but in terms of New York, who scheduled the bunches, because there are like four or five bunches. Who made those decisions? Are station staff making the decision about the mix, or are the LESs making the decision? So I'd like to know that around the network. When it comes to scheduling of the on-air forums, I specifically...
Wait, hold on one second. I'm writing, sending this to the LESs now. You said who scheduled the grouping?
Yes.
Oh,
And I know we're going to get more into CART, so I don't want to use up this Q&A time for that. But I would like to know that. And then for the upcoming on-air forums, and I know you said that you did put it in the booklet that on-air forums are coming, so folks know they don't have to, like, immediately jump. They'll have time to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would like to be sure that the decisions about those groupings, I know people will send in the availability, but there's always some discretion. I would like to be sure that it will be the LES's discretion at work and not staff.
Okay. That I can, yeah. I mean, I can tell you from that when we discussed the on-air forums yesterday on our LES's call, it was the LES's driving that. The only thing that we were asked, that they were instructed to ask from the station, was dates and time groupings, and that the LESs would control the groupings for the on-air forums, and to ensure that I did make a note specifically to ensure that the groupings were not, biased, and that, you know, all of the people in one group are with one particular slate or things like that. So we did talk very extensively about that, and we'll, again, on our call next week when we're completely focusing on the on-air forums, so I can't answer that question now. In terms of the groupings for the candidate CART, the general instructions that I gave to the LESs were to create the groupings, and that they were to get do the time frames in coordination with the station management and programming. But again, and I said during my update, I've largely left that to the LESs while I was dealing with other items over the past week or so I will check back on that.
Okay, and will the LESs themselves be hosting? And I know at KPFK that's really painful because there are like so many people.
Yeah, and you guys are subjecting, you guys are subjecting her to like coordinating like 10 or 11 forums. We did discuss on the on-air forums that the LESs do not have to moderate all of them, but that if that would not be the case, then identifying neutral parties to serve in that capacity.
I know that is very
difficult, if not impossible, to do at a Pacifica station. And one of the LESs came up with another great idea of identifying if there are any colleges or schools that particularly have broadcast journalism programs, and possibly using staff or faculty from there who are not affiliated with Pacifica at all to help serve in that capacity. We did have a discussion about that.
Okay, because we've done it with staff here in New York. It was not good.
Yes, I saw from past report.
Thank you.
Okay, hold on, let me list the stack. I have Teresa, I want to add myself to the stack, and then Margie, and then back to Janet K for a second round. Is there anyone else?
I'm sorry, Adriana was trying to be heard.
I couldn't hear you.
Bob,
okay.
Bob, this
okay.
is Margie. If I submit my question in writing, will you forward it to the list for me?
Certainly.
Thank you. And then Eljoy can respond to me.
So you're passing?
Yeah, I can't go before members of the committee, and I have a very, very serious concern, and so I'm worried that I'm not going to get heard, so I'll send it as an email, okay?
Well, I'm sorry, are you leaving the call?
No, not at all, but I don't see myself fitting in here before members of the committee have had a chance to ask their
questions. Well, let's see. I mean, we're going to keep to the order, which is committee members first, then non-committee members, and we may get to you. So,
won't get to me if committee members have a second round. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Jose Luis Fuentes here, if you can put me on the stack.
Sure, absolutely. Okay. All right, so next is Teresa.
Well, has Janet Coburn asked her questions yet?
She has the second round coming up. She's asked the first batch.
So have all her questions been answered?
She just said she wants to ask a few more.
Okay.
So she'll be recognized.
As my first for my first minute, can Margie ask her question, and then I'll take the next 2 minutes.
Bob, can you put me in the stack, Adriana?
Yes, Adriana, you are on the stack. Okay, so Teresa is ceding a minute to Margie.
Okay. Is that okay with everybody? All right, I'll tell
you.
So, Eljoy, today I saw the staff list for KPFA, and I have two concerns about the staff list. I don't know where that list came from, but there are two. I have two questions. One is that people who achieved membership as a result of working in the phone room, for example, volunteers, are listed on the staff list, and are in the past they have always been listener members, and so I don't know if you know that, and I don't know how they got on the staff list, but I'm one of the people who thinks it's sort of inappropriate. They become listener members, but they don't become staff members. The other concern is that members of our CAB are listed on the staff list, and that is a very serious question, because that is a violation of law. CAB members cannot be station staff by law, by FCC rules and regs. And so the fact that the CAB members are listed on the staff list is a very, very big serious problem for us. And I know that the list was said to be final, and I don't know how to get it fixed, because it seems to me this is... Anyway, I'm very worried about the situation.
Yeah, so here is an issue in which I say that puts the NES and the LES at a serious disadvantage on this on these issues, right? Is that I just want to talk specifically about staff lists. You know, because it's relatively easy in terms of receiving a list for paid listeners, right? There's a specific category, people who donated this much between this time, and here's a list that can just be verified against a database or a system. And even if there are errors or omissions, things, there's a process in which to address that. For the issue for staff, particularly unpaid staff, because each of the stations keep that differently, if not at all, or rely on programming, it puts us at a serious disadvantage on knowing who's right, and then it creates a, like you said, a sort of this discussion back and forth on whether or not somebody belongs on there or not, right? So I understand with KPFA, you know, that the unpaid staff organization sort of sets, you know, what the membership is of that grouping, which allows the list. All I asked for when I asked for the list and everyone saw the memo, I asked for the people who are responsible for keeping those lists to send me a list. I find it extremely irresponsible that if the LES or NES asked for that list, that is not kept, that then people then, you know, have in 3 months or 2 months or whatever are still compiling names and lists and things like that. That is, I don't understand how that is allowed to happen on a regular basis. I don't understand that from just a general professional operation. And so I agree with everyone on in that aspect, because I can only get information. I request the information and then it's sent to me, and you know, then there's all this disputes of, you know, the names and who belongs on there or not. I don't know the people, so I can't say and I can't make judgments on whether or not. I can only rely on what you guys say. And so if you say or other people say, well, they're not staff, but then I have the same amount of equal people saying they are, you know, it's very difficult for us to make that determination. I just want you to understand the position that I am in terms to do that. So, I mean, I have until, like, 9 a.m. tomorrow morning to alter, you know, this list or this thing. I mean, you guys tell me what, in this particular instance, you know, is there something that I can go off other than asking the head or the organizers of this organization and of the people who keep this list, you know, who are the names on this list, you know, what other things can I do between now and 8 a.m. to make that final?
Okay. I don't even know what to say. Has station management been given an opportunity to comment on the list? I don't. Or did station submit a list?
Station, for each of the stations, when I sent the memo and said, you know, station management in some stations sent me, here's the paid staff, this other person has to send you the unpaid list because we don't keep it. And then, you know, I produce a list and send it, and they say, well, I don't know who these three people are. You know, so it bounces back and forth.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, besides the issue that there was an issue that was my error, I fully admit in combining the wrong list, and we were able to quickly fix that. But, you know, that's the issue, particularly, and that's what, it puts us at a serious disadvantage because we're not at Pacifica every day. We don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and to be able to help make those decisions. We don't know.
Almost time up. I move that we extend.
No, that's okay. I don't know what to do. I just saw the list today. I guess you sent them out. You sent the list out, I think, and I got it as a, I don't know how I got it. As a PMB member, did I get it? Did you send them out?
Well, I sent them out to management, to the LESs. I asked them to post them at all, if there were staff and unpaid staff network, post it at the station, email it around. You know, I.
Okay.
You
okay.
Know,
well, however,
yeah,
I
asked for that to happen.
So I don't. I will. I don't know.
So
what
I mean,
to
what
do.
I can it's, say. What I can
the
say.
Cab
here's
people,
what I.
The cab people is really serious, because that's literally a violation of law. And so, if the cab members receive ballots as staff people, I think that, you know, is like jeopardizes.
Well, see, that in an instance is something we can fix, right? Because as you're saying, you know, cab members by law can't be staff, right? So
yeah.
Is there a list of cab members that I can then remove that I can cite?
Can get you a list of cab members, and I'll email it to you.
Yeah, if you can do that to me before 9 a.m.
Yes.
Eastern my time,
yes.
You know, then that's something that I can fix.
Okay.
The same thing where the LESs have been collecting, you know, people whose names have been missing or, you know, should be, and they've been sending that to me to, you know, to update the list. So, I have all of that. So if I have clear information or clear things, but to just, like I said, I mean, and I'm fine with showing the emails, send me a list, say, okay, this is who I was supposed to get the list from. They sent me a list. People are missing. Or we have tons of people where we just have first names and no email address and no mailing address. I don't understand how anybody works at a station and there's no contact information.
Right.
We're at time at
thank
this
you
point.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Yeah,
I move to extend. We have five more people. How about 15 minutes more?